The Lord be with you. In case you hadn't noticed, it's an election year. Luke Bretherton is a political theologian, and I'm reminded of something he said in a lecture. Politics is a gift because the alternative is war. These days it feels like our politics have become war. We've gone beyond polarization to dehumanization and demonization of the other. It's like a dark shadow has been cast over the political landscape of this country. And wherever you may land on the political spectrum, it is easy to feel discouraged and angry, disillusioned, hopeless. I am so grateful today for Matthew's gospel. Because reading Matthew in this cultural and political moment reminds us where light breaks forth. Let's rewind to the beginning of Matthew. Matthew begins with a genealogy. His story of Jesus begins with a long list of names. And Matthew's point is that Jesus is the son of David. Jesus is the heir to the throne. And the rest of Matthew's gospel will be an unfolding of that reality, that Jesus is king, an unfolding of the resistance to the kingdom Jesus ushers in. Then in chapter 2, Matthew describes how this newborn king Jesus is a threat to the power of Herod. And out of fear, Herod reacts and kills baby boys in and around Bethlehem. And there is deep grief in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, this little royal family, are forced to flee in the cover of darkness and become exiles in Egypt. We see here that Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. Matthew 3 is Jesus' baptism, his royal anointing by the prophet John. But it doesn't happen in the citadel of Jerusalem. It happens in the muddy waters of the Jordan. We hear echoes of the prophet Samuel anointing King David in the sheep fields. Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. In Matthew 4, the Spirit of God thrusts Jesus out into the darkness of the desert, to the utter margins of human life. And there, this newly anointed king faces temptation. Temptation to grasp and hoard power for himself, to set himself up as king. But Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. And that's where we pick up the story today. After those 40 days of solitude and temptation and inner struggle, Jesus emerges from the dark margins of the desert only to be met with grief. John, his relative. John, the one person who seems to see who Jesus really is. This John has been locked away in Herod's fortress. Jesus' public ministry begins on the margins and in the darkness. As Jesus takes up the mantle of John's ministry, his first move is to withdraw, to retreat to Galilee. Galilee was the tribal territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. In 7 centuries before Jesus, it was first on the chopping block of the Assyrian Empire as they swept down from the north. They took many from the land of Galilee into exile, which is why the prophet Isaiah calls this place a land of deep darkness. When Jesus arrives on the scene, Galilee is still on the margins of Israel. Politically, it's under the thumb of Roman imperial oppression. And religiously, it's a borderland polluted by Gentiles. It is the last place that a political strategist would suggest to launch a campaign. It's far from Jerusalem, far from centers of influence and power. It's Israel's last frontier. It's like suggesting that a presidential campaign should start in Alaska. It doesn't make sense. As Jesus gathers his would-be administration, his cabinet, he doesn't go recruiting in the Ivy League. He calls for fishermen. Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. This beginning makes me think of the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. This is where Jesus chooses to begin his kingdom campaign. And he borrows his campaign slogan from John the Baptist: "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Can you imagine that on a placard on your front lawn? The political donations don't start pouring in for Jesus and his followers. But this message of the kingdom, is at the very heart of Jesus' reign. And Jesus will flesh out this message in his inaugural address in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount, this vision of the kingdom he brings. This message is Jesus' declaration of dependence. Jesus refuses to run along party lines. His allegiance is not with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Essenes or the Zealots. Jesus is running as a dependent candidate, dependent on the power of his Father, a dependence he learned and embraced at the Jordan River, a dependence he forged in the furnace of the desert. And for the next 3 years on the campaign trail, Jesus will proclaim and embody his Father's kingdom. Who would expect that the kingdom of heaven would begin on the dusty earth of Galilee, among those neglected, among the forgotten, among the sick, among the suffering? Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. When Jesus finally makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, to the center of power and influence, he comes riding on a donkey. And there in Jerusalem, he will share a royal banquet with his friends, which we call the Last Supper. And he will be crowned with thorns. That's his coronation. He will be enthroned on a cross. And at noon, darkness will cover the land. Jesus' kingship begins on the margins and in the darkness. But just before Jesus is arrested, he tells us about his royal family. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or sick and took care of you? When was it that you were in prison and we visited you? And then the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. Jesus campaigns as the dependent candidate, and he comes near to those who know their dependence on God, to those who know what it is to sit in darkness, who know what it is to feel forgotten and neglected and excluded. And he invites us, those who would call ourselves his constituents, his subjects, he invites us to the margins. He invites us into the darkness. Because if we refuse to go there, we will miss the king and his kingdom he brings. This is as true today as it was when Jesus walked the dusty roads of Galilee. Jesus is for the poor and the hungry, the immigrant, the prisoner, the unemployed, the chronically ill, the homeless. Jesus is for them, whether they live in Detroit or in Appalachia. Jesus is for them, no matter what their political party. And the church is called to be for them as well. Some of us in this room find ourselves in the darkness. Some of us sit in the shadow of death. Some of us have just lost a parent or grandparent in the last couple weeks. Calvin University sits in the shadow of death, having lost a student to suicide. Some of us live in the shadow of an illness that threatens to take our life. Some of us continue to be estranged from family members. Some of us wonder if the people we love most are even welcome in this place. Some of us know what it is to live under the yoke of mental illness. Some of us lose sleep because our work is consuming our life. And we wonder if the Lord has forgotten us there in that dark corner of our life. Mariah West is newer to COS. She's an artist. And some of her paintings emerge from meditations on Genesis 1. And one of the insights she gained there has stuck with me. She said, darkness is the womb of light. Darkness is the womb of light. If you look at Carol Rhoda's artwork, she understands this insight as well. That the context for light to emerge is always darkness. That's where the light breaks forth. Yes, the earth was formless and void, and darkness did cover the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, over the chaos, over the darkness. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. The author of Psalm 97 said, the Lord is king. Cloud and thick darkness are all around him. Maybe you know the words of Psalm 139. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the dark is as light to you. Friends, our God is no stranger to darkness, for that is where he dwelt from eternity. And the Son of God, the word spoken out of silence, the light burst forth out of darkness. This one, this king, is no stranger to darkness either. And if we avoid the darkness, if we avoid our own darkness, we will miss the king. Mimi Dixon is a retired pastor. And a few years ago, she visited her parents, and they shared with her the news that her mother had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And Mimi was distraught, devastated. She didn't know what to say. But her parents looked at each other, her mom and dad held hands, and they looked at Mimi. And they said, her father said, Mimi, we've never said no to Jesus. And your mother and I have talked about this, we've prayed about this, and we agreed together that if Jesus is going into the valley of Alzheimer's, we're going with him. Friends, Jesus is king, even in the dark. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the former time and the latter time. The former time, days of anguish and contempt and deep darkness and oppression. But the prophet speaks of the latter time, that day when light shines, when joy increases, when justice reigns and freedom rings. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke often about the former time and the latter time. In March of 65, Dr. King and thousands of others marched from the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, to the state capitol in Montgomery. And there at the state capitol, in the heart of Jim Crow South, in the heart of the darkness of apartheid and segregation, Dr. King stood up and gave a speech. And towards the end of this speech, he said this, I know you are asking today, how long will it take? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult this moment, however frustrating this hour, it will not be long, because truth pressed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long, because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long, because you still reap what you sow. How long? Not long, because the arm of the moral universe bends toward justice. How long? Not long, because mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. Friends, we live in this time between the times, when the light has dawned, but darkness has not left us, when we still await the full brightness of the noonday light. And if we find ourselves in that darkness, if we ask how long, remember that the light does shine out of darkness. And the darkness has not and will not ever overcome it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.